Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a great rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy.
Good morning. Everybody have a good Christmas? Everybody get what they wanted? Everybody got stuff they didn't want? That always happens, right? It was funny, Dawn, you said as we go into this year 2020, I'm like, no, can we... I don't want to do this year again, right? Well, I hope that if this year looked different to you, that you still felt the comforting, peaceful presence of Jesus with you and with your families. So we have been in James, and so we're going to take one of the last passages of James today. James is like the most practical book of the Bible. It's one of my favorites for that reason. There's such a obvious purpose in the book. You can always take very practical things and live them out in your daily lives. So throughout James, we have been talking about trials and the different kinds of trials we face and the different ways to navigate through those trials. We've talked about wisdom and how we only need to ask for wisdom genuinely, and Jesus gives it to us freely. And we've talked about how to live well, how to live wisely, how to get along with each other, how to live humbly. And now, as we're nearing the end of James, we're going to take a look at pretty much the second to the last passage in a moment. But we're also ready, I mean, more than ready, to go into a new year. Can I get an amen? Amen. What a very momentous year 2020 has been. And now we look to 2021. 2020 was a year for the books, one of pandemic proportion. I had to get my bad dad joke in, and so that's it. No more cringy jokes, hopefully. But there are certain words and phrases that have kind of come along this year that I would be more than happy to never hear again. And so some of those phrases, if you agree with me, give me an amen or give me a boo if you hate these phrases as well. But lockdown, right? Unprecedented times. Things are looking different this year because of COVID. Okay, now this one could go either way, because this one is an excuse, like, you get to, I'm sorry I was late for work, you know, COVID. But it also gets you out of things that you normally would be required to go to. So you have that cousin in your family you don't really like, and they're getting married. You could say, I'm sorry, I can't go to the wedding, you know, COVID. So that one kind of goes either way. If you've been on Zoom meetings, you've known this one, you're on mute. Yeah. For all my teacher friends out there, remote learning. Yes. Social distancing. That one's like so annoying. This one is my very least favorite. New normal. Yeah. Yes. Right? So I just wanted to acknowledge the annoyance and sometimes necessity of these words and phrases. But COVID isn't the only thing that happened this year. We've had a lot of significant and important conversations and discussions about race and polarizing politics, which I'm going to talk about this morning. No, I'm just kidding. I would be fired. No. But all of those things have affected each one of us. And like Pastor Lloyd said a couple weeks ago, we're all in the same storm, but we're all in different boats. So we have experienced this year the same but different. We've all experienced some type of loss. And so, you know, how do we proceed into the new year? How do we move forward if, like me, you thought all of this would be done by like August or September, and here we are with this new normal, feeling like nothing's really different at all going into this new year, but we're just trudging the same new normal as we have always done. How do we proceed into a new year with a grateful heart and a positive outlook, and most importantly, the perspective that the Lord would have us take on? Well, let's look at James 5, 7 through 11. It's a pretty large passage, so bear with me. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. For examples of patience and suffering, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. It's a really big chunk of scripture, but the two themes that really jump out at me there are patience and hope. And going into this new year, we all need a lot of patience and a lot of hope. And it's very possible that you're all very annoyed with me right now, those words, because how many times have we heard that all year? That doesn't sound any different. It sounds like a new normal. Talking about patience, talking about hope. This is probably something you've heard time and time again. And you may be thinking, I've been nothing but patient because I've been in quarantine or whatever you have experienced. I haven't had a choice but to be patient. And you may be just done. And you said, I've tried hanging on to hope and the hits keep coming. Depending on your boat may look pretty almost capsized by now. Your boat might just look pretty banged up. The yacht that you started out with in 2020 is now just a little rowboat. So how do we hang on to that hope when you're at your end? Or maybe you might be thinking, why? What's the point? I'm not getting the results that I want. You know, I'm doing all the things that I know to do, and I'm not getting the results I want. Life still doesn't look how I want it to look. There's a really anointed worship leader that I follow on Instagram, and he had posted something a few weeks ago, and I screenshotted it, and it's just been really stirring in my spirit, and I really believe it is a word for this church, for the body of Christ, and for each of us individually. And he says, your old patterns won't work in this new season. What got you here won't be the thing that takes you to the next level. You have to lean into him and his voice like never before to receive the new strategy. Fresh eye contact with Jesus is what will unlock it. Can we just stop and think about that for a moment? It reminded me of the children of Israel. You know, God brought them out of Egypt and they're walking around in the wilderness for 40 years, mind you, not just 1 year of 2020, although 2020 was basically like 40 years in one. But they're waiting to get into the promised land, and God promises to bring them food every single day, fresh manna. But he says, I'm going to give you fresh food every day, but don't try and keep it, okay? It's not going to last you the next day. I'll bring you more stuff the next day. Well, they still try and hold on to it, and what happens is the stuff they got from the last day turns moldy, and it's filled with maggots. And God said, I told you, I'd bring you fresh food. That was God wanting to remind them that they needed his fresh bread, his fresh sustenance every single day. So we can't go into 2021 with the same mindset we've been carrying throughout 2020. The way that you're used to hearing from God and connecting with God, maybe we probably all have put our relationship with God in a box. I know that if I do A and B, I'm going to get C. Well, that's not going to work anymore. It's not going to work in your personal relationships. It's not going to work in our church. It's not going to work in the body of Christ. And it's not going to work in your personal relationship with Jesus. We're going to have to lean into him like never before if we're going to receive his fresh words, his fresh strategy. So I want to challenge you this morning as we go through some really practical ideas of patience and hope, that we have fresh ears and fresh eyes. And I just feel like I need to pray over you right now. So, God, I just pray, God, as we go through your word, you literally change the way that we see. You literally change our vision to see how you want us to see things this year. You literally change how we hear. How we hear your words, how we hear conversations with each other, how we hear perspectives. God, you would give us open and humble hearts, open spirits for your word to hear your truth. God, we thank you for that. Amen. So if you take notes, there's going to be some really good stuff. So if you take notes, get out your notes app because this is going to be good. So there, I'm going to give you some five reasons of why we should be patient and hold on to hope. And number one is because we know the difficulties won't last. Amen? Feels like 2020 has been going on forever, but it won't last. It's ending next week, okay? So there you go. But he says in James 5, take the old prophets as your mentors. They put up with anything, went through everything, and never once quit, all the time honoring God. This season will end, and there'll be a new season, so it won't last. That's how we can be patient, hold on to hope. Number two, because we know God will use it for good. My brothers and sisters, when you have many kinds of troubles, you should be full of joy because you know these troubles test your faith, and this will give you patience, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. And in Romans 8, we also know that very famous verse, he works everything to good for those who love him. And I don't believe God causes bad things to happen, but he absolutely redeems every single thing. God doesn't disappoint. He doesn't know how. It's not in his nature. It is in his nature to make everything right. So if things aren't right in your life, that means he's not done. That means your story isn't over. And that goes into number three, because we know getting irritated doesn't help. Don't complain or grumble against each other, or you will be judged by God who is standing at the door. A few weeks ago, John spoke about how to live well, how to live wisely. If you have the podcast, you should go back a few weeks and listen to it. It's a phenomenal message. But he was talking about how we get along with each other. And that's also in James 4, I believe. And the Message translation says it really interestingly. It says, if you want to have a robust, thriving community and enjoy its results, you must do the hard work of getting along with each other. And I'm pretty sure when you complain and grumble, that's probably not going to get you the results that you want. So we know getting irritated doesn't help. But what does help is number four. We know it's not the end of the story. Amen? This isn't the end. What a gift life is to those who stay the course. You've heard of Job's staying power, and you know how God brought it all together for him at the end. That's because God cares. He cares right down to the last detail. There's a lyric in a song that says, if the story isn't good, then the story isn't over. Your story isn't over. And number five, because we know we will be rewarded. Happy are those who remain faithful under trials. Because when they succeed in passing such a test, they will receive as their reward the life which God has promised to those who love him. And every athlete in training submits to strict discipline in order to win a prize that will not last, but we do it for one that will last forever. So we can hang on to hope because we have those five things. We know the difficulties won't last. We know getting irritated doesn't help. We know this isn't the end of the story. We know God is going to use it for good. And we know we will be rewarded if we remain faithful. Now, we know difficulties won't last, but sometimes they last longer than we expect and much longer than we really want. So what do we do? How do we trust God while we're waiting when things aren't happening as quickly as we want? Well, one, like farmers, we wait expectantly. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. I was talking with Eric Coyton the other day, and he grew up on a farm. His dad's a farmer in Iowa, Mapleton, Iowa. I think I got it right. But we were talking about this verse. We were discussing it, and he was saying, you know, I resonate with that because my dad would spend all of that time sowing the seed. He would be trying to plant a good crop. And you didn't know if it was going to be a good crop or not until the rain came. You had to do what you did. And then you just had to sit back and wait for the rain to come and pray and hope it would be a good harvest. And that started me thinking, we're in a position where we can only do so much. But what we can do, we have to own. We have to posture our hearts in the right place. We have to be in the Word. We have to be diligent and intentional about staying connected to each other, staying connected to community, staying connected to the Lord. even more intentional right now. But after we do all that we can do, that's all literally we can do. Then we have to surrender and allow God to do inside of us what only He can do. If we want a valuable harvest and we want to receive what He wants to do inside of us, we have to be patient, but we have to wait expecting He's going to do a good work inside of us. Like a farmer, we do what we can and then we stand back and let God do what only He can do. Amen? No one who waits for my help will be disappointed in Isaiah 49. God does not disappoint. I want you to raise your hand if someone in your life has ever disappointed you. Raise your hand if you've ever disappointed someone else, right? That part's inevitable. You will always be disappointed by people. I'm going to disappoint people in my life, and people will disappoint me. But God doesn't. Not for one second does He disappoint. And so we sometimes put perspectives of God that we have with our relationships on each other. So we have to properly align ourselves with our perspective of who God is. He is beyond good. And whatever you think, the measure of goodness that you have of God, think about how good you believe God is. He is better than that. He is better than you think. He does not disappoint. Number two, like the prophets, we wait without complaining. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's interesting. There's a difference between venting and complaining. And I remember hearing something about don't vent to someone who can't give you the solution. And I thought that was really good because it's really easy for us to vent to multiple people just because things are stirring up and it's an emotional and intense time. But be careful that when you're waiting on the Lord and you're expecting God to do something, that's a seed inside. And don't spoil that seed by complaining. Wait expecting what God is going to do. And then number three, like Job, wait confidently. Wait with expectancy and with confidence. In Job, it says, if a man dies, can he come back to life? I will wait for better times. I will wait till this time of trouble is ended. For those of you who have never read Job or don't know the story of Job, basically, Job is a very blessed, very wealthy man. He has a very faithful wife, wonderful kids. He has faithful servants, lives in a mansion. I mean, life is good for him. And Satan comes to God and says, well, he's only worshiping and praising you because everything is going right in his life. But you take all that away and watch, he'll turn his back on you. And so that happens. Job literally loses everything. And everybody calls him a fool for staying faithful to God. They think he must have done something in his life to deserve this. And God does not disappoint. And he stays and he waits expectant and he waits with confidence. And he says, I'm going to wait for better times because I know who my God is. My God does not disappoint. And I will wait until this time of trouble has ended. And he is greatly rewarded. That time of trouble does end. And everything that Job lost, he got back tenfold. And he got even more financial blessings. He got another family that was blessed. And so God rewarded him. And in Isaiah 40, it says, those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. In Isaiah 40. So when you're waiting and things are not happening as quickly as you would like, as we're going into this new year and it seems like the new normal, I want to challenge you that this is not the end of the story. It may look the same, but it's not the same. This is different. And you have to have kingdom eyes to see. If you're just looking at what you see on the news and what people are talking about around the water cooler, which nobody talks around the water cooler anymore. It's all email and IM, so I don't even know why I said that. But if you're listening to office gossip and social media and everything, of course it's going to look the same. Of course it's going to be depressing and intense and argumentative and just downright awful. If you look at those things, yes, but we don't see with those eyes. God has given us his perspective, his vision. This is not the end of the story, because we know how God fulfilled his purpose for Job, and his plan for Job ended in good, because the Lord always treats us with tender compassion and merciful kindness. If your life doesn't feel like there's compassion and mercy and kindness, it's not the end. That means God is working it out. That means God is at work doing it. So it's not like it's void, not like he's taking it away. He's doing something. And he's much bigger than us. And so I kind of tend to think he kind of knows what he's doing. So I have to do my best, do my part to posture my heart and lean in towards him. And we know that God has planned. He says, I know what I'm planning for you. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I'll give you hope and a future. So I know I've given you a lot of practical things. And normally I only have you walk away with one thing, but I'm going to make you take three things away today. So one, your old patterns won't work in this new season. Two, you will have to lean into him and his voice like never before. And three, new eyes with him means new hope for you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. When we lean into Jesus and we lean into his voice, it doesn't look like trying harder. I just want to clarify that. God never says try harder. He always says just come closer. And it starts with just being in his presence. That verse of be still and know that I am God is very significant, because there are moments that we literally just need to be still and allow his presence to come inside and just fill us up. And sometimes we need to be in the word so that we know he is God. It's a great verse to meditate on. It's Psalm 46:10.
Thank you for listening to our sermon. If you want to know more about us, you can find us at streamschurch.org or on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And if you enjoyed this content, subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Till next time, have a great week.